I'm sure most everyone here knows the story of the adulterous woman. And we have all been asked at some time or another, if we were there, would we have been, along with the other accusers, ready to have thrown the first stone at her? We are so guilty of that, judging others or talking about their sins, and yet we're not admitting our own sins. Now put your place in the adulterous woman. What if, for that little thing that you hope no one finds out about, or what about that little thing that everybody else does it? What about that thing that now then society accepts and don't think twice about? What if you had been brought before Jesus and just thrown on the ground like a piece of trash? And you knew, of all people, Jesus, the one that you definitely didn't want to know about this, was staring you right in the eyes. And he could take you out right there. Or he could have said, yes, stone you for whatever it is you have done. She could have been stoned, and that would have been the law. But Jesus said, oh, what wisdom he had. Whoever has not sinned, you go ahead and throw that first stone at her. Well, they knew Jesus knew all their sins, so they couldn't be a liar and throw the first stone. So eventually, they began to walk away. And it was just Jesus and this woman. Or it is just Jesus and you. And Jesus is looking you straight in the eyes. Not with eyes of hate, not with eyes of condemnation. Jesus is looking you in the eyes with love, with forgiveness, with mercy. He helps you back to your feet, helps you dust off the dirt and the sand, the dust. He hugs you. He gives you encouragement. And he said, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Oh, if only we were that loving and that kind to each other. But we're all like the adulterous woman. It may not be adultery, but we've all sinned. And we are all here as sinners, saved by grace.
Thank you. this place. I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, for allowing us to be in your house to worship you. Lord, this morning, I pray that when I open my mouth, that it's not my words that they hear, that it's you speaking through me, God, because I don't want to be heard. I want you to be heard, Lord. Lord, as we're sitting here this morning and we have all the things of the world weighing us down, for the next few minutes, Lord, however long we're in here, I just pray that we all clear our minds, clear our desks full of worries and things that are scary and, you know, bills that have to be paid, anything that's going on in our life. I'll clear all that out of the way. And I want the focus to be on you this morning, God, as we talk about shining bright for you. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I'm not glad that Artie's sick is the reason that I'm here. I hope he feels better soon and is back where he belongs, because the more and more I get up here, I do get a lot more comfortable, and I do feel better about speaking in front of you guys. But like I said, I'm still used to talking to people who don't listen to half the words I say. So, you know, so just keep that in mind. But I am glad to be here. And this morning, I want to do things a little different. And I think I did it this way last time. I'm not going to start out by reading the scripture right off, because, as you can see by my little tabs here, I've got a lot of scripture. I've got a lot of scripture here that I'm going to go over. And I'm going to go over it through different parts of what I'm talking about this morning. I wanted to start this morning with a definition. We're going to talk about the light and being the light of Jesus and how he wants us to shine bright. But before I can talk about that, I wanted to talk a little bit about darkness and what that means. The definition of darkness on I think it was Webster's Dictionary online. It was the noun version of the word, and it was the partial or total absence of light. If I'm going to sleep at night, I like it to be dark. I like light to be completely absent. I don't like any light shining in. It distracts me. But when I'm out into the world every day, I pray and I wish for more light shining around us. But I'm not talking about sunlight. I'm talking about the light that we give off through our devotion to Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the world we live in, darkness is ever expanding around us. The more and more we try to shine for Christ, the more and more somebody around us tries to either make us feel like we shouldn't be sharing our faith with others, or make us feel like we're wrong for believing what we believe as Christians. But I found a couple reasons, and I came up with a couple of reasons why light is expanding around. I mean, the darkness is expanding around us, though. So many people in this world either do one of these two things. We hide in the shadows. We're not part of the darkness. We may not be out doing bad things, but we hide in the shadows. We're not willing to jump out and stand up when we see sin and evil around us, because, you know, we're worried about what people's going to say. We're worried that people are going to say we're judging them, or, you know, what right do we have to say that? Or they might say, I can believe whatever I want to believe. But, I mean, it's just true. They can believe whatever they want to believe. They have to answer for it. But just because we have that free will to believe whatever, so they can believe whatever they want to believe, it does not mean that we should be standing in the shadows. God wants us to be out on the front line. He wants us to be out shining. He wants us to tell people, not so much tell people what they're doing wrong, but tell people why we need to live in a way that's godly, and why we need to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. And the other reason that I wrote down that the darkness is expanding around us, because despite our beliefs and what we know is wrong as wrong and right, because the world of around us is begging us to conform to them, sometimes, unfortunately, we do that. We give in and we cave on something that we may have believed our whole life just because the world around us is doing it. And these two things, you know, they're not pleasing to God. God wants us to stand firm, and He wants us to stand strong and boldly. But we'll talk about that in a minute. As Christians, we're called to be different. We're not called to be like the rest of the world around us. If we were to be like the rest of the world around us, then we would just all fade in. We would all be the same, and we would just fade in with the expanding darkness around us. I'm going to read again Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And it says this: "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Out in the youth building, when I turn the lights off, I have lamps all the way around the room, so it's not completely dark in there when I'm projecting something on the screen. Well, if I were to not have the projector on and I were to turn all those lights off in the building and not turn the lamps on, It would be completely dark in there. But what if I were to turn those lamps on and I accept that light and I turn that light on, but then after I turn those lamps on, I go over and I lay a cloth over top of those lamps that are on. Is it doing any different than it was when the light was not on? No, it's covered up. God did not put us into this world to hide once we receive the light, once we accept Jesus as our Savior. He didn't put us into the world to blend in with everything around us. He put us into the world to be like that city on a hill, to shine like nobody's business. He wants the neighbors to be woke up by how bright we are. Why should we do that is a question. So that's always a big thing as a parent and as someone who works with kids all day, every day. Why is the number one answer? Why? So I wanted to answer why. Why are we to be that light? Not only does it say it there, it tells us in God's word that we should be his light, but it also tells us in God's word that we are to strive to be like Christ. We can never be like Christ because he was perfect, but we are to strive to imitate him 100%. I wanted to share another verse with you, which is in 1 Corinthians. And I do have these marked, I promise. There's just so many in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And this is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And he says, imitate me. Now, Paul's starting off. Paul's telling them to imitate him. But listen to this. But not because Paul wants the church to be like him. He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. God told the church to do what Paul was doing, not because he wanted the church to be like him, because in his life he strived to be like Christ. And we should strive to be like Christ in everything we do. This morning, when Sandra was singing her song, she was talking about the adulterous woman who was being condemned for her actions. And Jesus was not afraid to shine. He didn't want to stand back and just let it happen. He could have easily said, you know what? She probably shouldn't be condemned for this, but it's not my business. He made it his business to go in and intervene because we're all sinners. We're all imperfect, but he wanted to go in and intervene and be that light that shined, to be that light that reached others. And he told the lady to go out and sin no more. We don't really know what happened to her after that. But I can imagine, after coming in contact with Jesus face to face like that, I can imagine how different her life was after that. But back to my original thought on this was, we are to strive to be like Christ. Imitate him in everything we do. That's why we're to let our light shine. So now the why we should let our light shine. How do we let our light shine? It's easy to say we're going to do something. It's easier to know that we should do it, but not always understand how we're going to get there. Fortunately, we left an instruction manual. We have to read it. As a man, I like to open up things, a box of something, and try to put it together without the instruction manual. That's not how I run my life. I might put a cabinet together that way with a door opening backwards, but that's not how I run my life. I'm not afraid or not ashamed to go into the instruction manual. So the one thing that we should do, we have to start with this. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in God's Word. In God's Word. I've got a verse marked in the book of Psalms. And it's Psalms 18:28, and it says, "For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." God's word is the light. Jesus became God's word in the flesh, but this is still God's word. We have to stay here if we want to know what we're going to do. And I have three things. Now, these are just three things. The Bible gives us so many instructions, but these are just three things that God tells us to do to be a light to the world around us. They're not easy things to do, so brace yourself. The first one, love others. I'm going to read a scripture out of John chapter 15, verse 12, if I can get there. In just a second, but loving others is quite possibly the hardest out of this. It's easy to love people who are nice to you, who are good to you, who help you out when you're in need. I don't have a problem loving everybody in this building. But think about the person in your life that is not so nice to you. Maybe has said mean things about you in the past. Maybe has done things to hurt you. God didn't say just love the people who love you. He said love everybody, even the people who have hurt us. John 15 verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And he goes on to finish that, and it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Jesus laid his life down for us. He loved us unconditionally, knowing he forgave each and every one of us for our sins, knowing that we're going to mess up. We're going to rebel. We're going to take his name in vain. We're going to tell little white lies. He knew the sins that each one of us would be guilty for in our life. And he laid down his life regardless. He loved us regardless of that. And if Jesus can lay down his life regardless of that, surely we can love regardless of what people do to us. People have hurt our feelings, said mean things about us. There may be people in the world that you just don't like. Well, fortunately, the Bible doesn't say you have to like everybody, but you've got to love everybody and care about everybody. You may not like the way they live their life or the choices they make, but that's not, or that shouldn't affect the way you love them, because we have to love unconditionally everyone around us. The second thing we have to do is help others. Now that seems simple enough, but we have to be willing to help others when it's inconvenient for us. It's easy to say, you know, I'm going to help others when I can, or I'm going to help others, maybe the ones that I want to. But we have to be willing to help others when it's inconvenient for us. And that's not easy. Do you think it was convenient for Jesus to lay his life down on the cross for us? He was in the garden, praying tears of blood in the garden. God, if there's any other way, let's do that. But if not, God, it's your will, not mine. It was very inconvenient for Jesus to lay down his life for us. But he did it anyway. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ says to bear each other's burdens. Help each other out. Be there for each other. in the time of need, in their time of need, when it's inconvenient for you, be willing to help others. And the third thing I've got on this list is be willing to tell others about Jesus and what he's done for you. Acts chapter 1:8, pretty strong, common verse, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." At this particular time, he was talking about his disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. We also receive that Holy Spirit. If we receive that Holy Spirit, we bear the same responsibility that they did to go out into the end of the earth and tell other people, witness for Jesus, tell other people about his awesome power and his awesome forgiveness. So love, help others, and tell others. Is it easy? No. Some of the hardest, these are three of the hardest things that can do. They seem easy, and they can be easy at times, but it's not always easy. Is it scary? Yes. It is very scary to relinquish control of your life. Because we think and we're taught and we're told that we have control of our life. Well, guess what? We have free will. We have control of our life. But we are told to relinquish that power, to give that control over to Jesus and let him lead our lives. Let him lead us to people that may be hard to love. Let him lead us to places that it might be inconvenient for us to be. And let him lead us to the people who need to hear the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. Through the hardness, through the tough and the grit that these things are, we have to trust God through it all. I'm going to read. This is John chapter 1, verse 5. And this will help you in the times that you're afraid. Because we're told to be the light, but we're and share the light of Jesus Christ. But we also have that light in our life. So listen to this. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." It may seem like things are closing in around us, and that it's scary to do all these things, but when it feels like the darkness is closing in around us, people have turned their backs on us because we're living in a way that's pleasing to God. And luckily, you know, we don't see that to the extreme that we may see it one day. But through all of that, Jesus is there with us. And even though it may feel like the darkness is closing in around us, Jesus' light can't be snuffed out. It can't be blew out or doused. It's there. The darkness cannot overcome it if we have that light in our lives. We may feel alone. And alone is something that I know all of us feel at some point in time. I don't like to be alone. I don't like to feel alone. And I had this verse marked, but the marker's gone, so bear with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." When things get tough around us, that light's not going to be blown out. And Jesus is not going to leave us hanging. People leave us hanging. We don't rely on people. That's why God tells us to rely on him alone. Because no matter how much you love somebody, no matter how good is somebody, there's still a chance. Because they're human, there's still a chance that they could leave you hanging. Jesus is not going to leave us hanging. He's going to be there with us the whole way. Fear. Fear is something that we all face. And fear plays a part in how we share the gospel. But God speaks on fear too. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And that runs into the other one. He said He's not going to leave you or forsake you, so do not fear. I don't know about you guys, but things scare me all the time. The thought of what could happen to my family or what could go on around us, there's a lot of fearful things in the world. But here's the thing. When we leave our house and we're taking God with us. We don't know when our time's going to come, but guess what? God didn't tell us to stay in and hide from the world and hide so our light is shining for us, but for nobody else. He told us not to fear, to go out into the world regardless of that fear that we have and know that we don't need to be afraid because Jesus is with us all the way. And worry. Worry is something I struggle with a whole lot. Worrying about what other people think about us. Worrying about what other people are going to say about me. Not saying that I do things to worry about. It's just a struggle that I have mentally. And I marked a verse, which has apparently already been pulled out too, in Proverbs. And I'm going to read Proverbs 29, verse 25. And it says this. Sorry. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Over and over and over and over again in God's word. We hear, do not be afraid. Do not waver because God is with us all the way. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Are we going to go through hard times? Yes. Are we going to go through times when we wonder, why in the world, God, did you let this happen? Yes. All the time. But when we go through those times, when we struggle with that, remember that God's word says over and over and over and over again to not be afraid, that He's not going to leave us and He's not going to forsake us. So we can't let these things put a blanket over our light or put a lampshade or something to make our light not shine as bright. When we're worried about what others think and when all this worry and all this fear and all these things get in our head, remember that Jesus is there with you and He wants your light to shine bright through every hard time, every struggle, everything that tries to come into our life and expand the darkness. Our light that we shine through Jesus Christ can push all that out. So my question to you as we close today, how bright is your light shining? Are you being the city on a hill that God called you to be, shining your light bright for those around you to see? Or are you maybe being a little town in a valley, dimming the lights, not doing anything wrong, not per se, but just staying hidden? Because that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to shine bright regardless of what's going on around us. And He's going to be with us every single step of the way. So as you leave out of here today, as you walk out these doors, I encourage you to shine bright. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, God. Once again, we just come to you and we praise your holy name and who you are. Lord, as we go out into the world, as darkness can sometimes feel like it's coming in, overtaking us, God, give us the faith and the strength and the wisdom to know that your light is brighter than any of that. Help us and give us the strength to reflect your light and shine, not because we want people to see us, God, but because we want people to see you. Protect us as we go out today, and I just thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house. Amen.